on whether new life has arisen since the creation and whether macroevolution should be taught as the unifying concept of biology. So not much agreement on those last two points, almost unanimous agreement on the first four. And when we asked them, what camp do you belong to, thinking back to my first diagram, the plurality position was old Earth creationists, nearly 40%, young Earth creationists, about a fourth, 24%, and evolutionary creationists, again, similar to one-fourth of the respondents indicated that that was their camp affiliation. In 2009, we repeated to the same population the survey from 2004. The survey from 2004 was, the 2009 survey was modified from the 2004 survey. And we found that, again, a confirmation of the validity here, the first factor for all respondents, old Earth creation, the pooled data on the last column there, evolutionary creation, a little bit of noise, if you will, between the faculty and students, and then young Earth creation were the three main factors. Because we'd asked some questions in the survey now about intelligent design and gap theory, this mental construct appeared. The group overall were thinking about answering these questions from an intelligent design perspective, but the faculty, I guess maybe not surprising, a larger percentage of the faculty were thinking within a gap theology or a gap theory framework. I'm not going to really hit this at all. Some of you who might be statisticians might be interested. The numbers across the top are the item numbers in the survey, and FL stands for factor loadings. And in this analysis, anything negative indicates a strong factor loading. And really, I'm just showing this to show that we did do some analysis to arrive at our conclusions. But if you're interested, I'll talk with you in more detail later. An important part of an analysis of the usefulness of a survey like this is reliability analysis. So we did Cronbach's alpha reliability statistic, and anything above 0.7 is considered evidence of reliability. And so for the four mental constructs that I showed you in the previous slides for the 2009 survey, the reliability numbers were good, and they were good for the 2004 survey too. So when we talk about origins as teachers, we might encounter something like this. I don't know if you care to try to predict what the colleague's going to say. You want to try to fill in the blank in your mind? Assuming the goal is to tick off everyone, I think it's brilliant, the old compromise theory on origins. And we'll take that as, or leave it. Maybe leave it. Some specific findings. We had a stronger response rate in 2004, 1,000 respondents. In 2009, about 390. The other statistics are fairly similar. We had smaller percentage of students. About 74% in the 2004 survey were affiliated with the Assemblies of God. In 2009, 80%. Among the faculty in 2004, asking what is your camp affiliation? 35% approximately were young Earth creationists, 31% old Earth, 12% evolutionary creationists, a large percent undecided. Comparing that to the 2008 survey, which is a different population, Earth creationists. And then in 2009, the most recent survey, there's been a statistically significant change. In 2004, the largest group were the young Earth creationists, 35% about. In the most recent survey, that number's dropped to 23, and the old Earth has gained some ground. Evolutionary creation, I'm pointing to the 08, which I shouldn't be over here, 30 compared to the 41. This was a different population. And then evolutionary creationists increased from 12 to 19%. And these changes are statistically significant. Graphically, you can see the young Earth creationists, this is 2004, 2009, decreasing, old Earth creation and evolutionary creationists increasing. Again, significant differences. Sutherland in 2005 surveyed CCCU biology faculty. asking them which camp they belong to. And this is just to give us some context, perhaps. 25% young earth creationists, 27% evolutionary creationists, really similar. The old earth or reluctant to commit camp was the largest group, I think. Reluctant to commit, I don't know. What does that mean? How many were there? But obviously a large percentage. They either didn't answer the question or call themselves old earth creationists. Some differences with students. From 04 to 09, there's been a change, a statistically significant shift. Young earth creationists in 04, 51% among students drops to 43% in 09. The old earth creationist shifts from about 18 to 23%. Evolutionary creationists among students shift from 8.5% to 15% or 16% almost. And again, difference. Graphically, just representing that same data. Do you embrace the theory of intelligent design? A high percentage of faculty and students in this survey responded favorably. Do you embrace the gap theory? 55% approximately of the students said no, 16% yes. Larger percentage of affirmatives among the faculty, although still the majority position was no. So faculty seem to be more commonly aligning themselves with the gap theory than students, probably not surprising. One of the interesting uses of a survey like this is to understand or examine anyway the congruence between a person's stated camp affiliation with their knowledge of the tenets or the main points of that stated position. And what I've tried to show here is taking the five heaviest highest factor-loaded statements for each camp, what percentage of people agreed with four or five of the top five? And for the young earth creationists, about 51% of the respondents, and their responses to the survey items were aligning with four or five of those items. For the old earth creation camp, 23%. For the evolutionary creation camp, 23%. So a stronger congruence between the stated position and the responses to the actual survey items were indicated by the YEC camp. An interesting finding.
Can those be the first and the third columns?
First and third column or row?
Column.
Okay. The first column is indicating which camp...
Oh.
Okay, this is strongly agree or agree with four of the five, and this one is saying five of five, okay, and this is four or five of the five. So basically just combining, got it, columns two and three. We've decided that this can be useful to educators. In one area is, again, I think I mentioned at the beginning that our driving vision behind this work really was to develop critical thinking skills. And so using these survey findings in your teaching, it gives some insight perhaps into the willingness of our students to change their positions on based on exposure to new evidence. And especially the second bullet there, are there positions that they've stated internally consistent? And the previous slide shows you that mostly not. Another useful tool we think is if we were beginning to teach a unit on origins and we could have an idea of where our students were aligning themselves before we started teaching, it might be enable us to modify our approach or at least address their where they're starting from. We've had a number of colleagues use the survey in a variety of ways. We have had biology, theology, Bible and religion, and psychology faculty have their students take the survey, usually as a pre-post test measure. So they take the survey before a unit of instruction. They go through the unit on origins or something, and then they take it as a post-test follow-up, and you look at changes in the scores. It's not too hard to do. And it's met with mixed success. Some faculty find that, man, my students shifted just the way I wanted them to. And then I have a classic example of them doing the exact opposite shift of what I had hoped for. But you know what? It did enable us to measure the shift that did occur among the students. And I'd like to just probably wind up here with just an interesting exploration of some recent Pentecostal contributions to the origins discussion. I think the first point is that Pentecostals historically have not developed a distinctive, a separate, or unique theology of origins. Rather, they have historically embraced typical evangelical and fundamentalist positions. Amos Young has an interesting paper. It's in real small text at the base there, but if you're into this, it's pretty interesting. He's taken some work of some writers of emergence theory, which is not inherently a theistic view, and integrated it with his research in pneumatology, the study of the works of the Spirit, and arrived at a conclusion or a summary that the Spirit could play an active role in creation through evolutionary processes. It's a very, very interesting article. And Pentecostals, because of the emphasis on the active role of the Spirit in the creation and in humans' lives, probably should not be surprised that the Spirit would create through evolution. So in conclusion, we find that the online origin surveys were valid and reliable from our statistical analysis. That Pentecostal students and educators today, based on the findings, have diverse views on origins, which was surprising, by the way. We did expect the Young Earth Creation Camp to be much more strongly represented than it was. Ancient creation views are gaining prominence among Pentecostals in higher ed. There is a shift occurring from 04 to 09, and so in these 5 years. And finally, that responses to these items are often inconsistent with the self-identified camp position. So as a teacher, that's probably a good thing. We know there's room to improve and some teachable opportunities. We'd like to thank some people for supporting us, and I'm open for questions and comments.
Back up one slide, please. I was confused when I read ancient creation views. You mean views of an ancient creation?
Right. Yes.
There's an old faculty at my school, been there a long time, it's a long time from Costco. He made a comment as he was growing up that his, I think it was Foursquare, I'm not sure, or AG, I can't remember which one of the two, he says, they had a phrase, it says, Jesus is Savior, Jesus is baptized in the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is soon coming King. That was the cardinal doctrines. And he said, not included in that was biblical inerrancy.
Hmm.
It was kind of like a lot of things it says. It was just an item that was not much on the radar. And he said, therefore, the role of experience in Pentecostals has always played a very strong dynamic that you sometimes don't see in the Reformed tradition. And he was arguing that's why he said, from what I grew up as a Pentecostal, he said, we really weren't hung up on this, a lot of stuff about creation and stuff. And it's kind of like maybe that's why they just kind of glommed on to what was going on in evangelical.
I think I agree with that. It was under the radar. Steve's paper this morning, his research seemed, you know, pretty solidly tells us that. It is an issue, though, later in the 70s, quite a bit of writing opposed to theistic evolution. And now we have Pentecostals like Dennis Lamro promoting evolutionary creation and other theistic evolutionists. It's getting on the radar. It is on the radar. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out and how the various Pentecostal groups and other Christian groups are going, the denominations are going to decide what battles are we willing to die over or not, and what issues are we going to do battle over at all.
Let me build on what Bill said and get a response from both of you on this. I've been in Pentecostal circles probably since 73, so I've known some of the older Pentecostals. It seems to me that many of the older Pentecostals tended to interpret Scripture in light of their experiences. They would take their experiences to the Scriptures and interpret the Scriptures that way. And it seems to me that probably in the last 20 or 30 years, most of the Pentecostal commentators that I've read are much less likely to do that. And I think that they probably, and perhaps because many of them were educated at mainline schools like Westminster or Biola or somewhere, they're much less likely to interpret on the basis of their experiences, and much more likely to interpret the way maybe most evangelicals interpret Scripture. What do you think, Bill, Mike?
Well, I was kind of curious about this whole dynamic, and the fact is Pentecostals have always had a high regard for Scripture, but not quite the high respect. I wouldn't say respect for Scripture, but it's sort of like, it's almost like sometimes in some traditions it's like the Scripture is the only way you can hear from God, and therefore Pentecostal would just completely reject that. And so in a sense, it's almost like that would mitigate somewhat against the YEC is very scripturally and literally dependent. And so it's almost like the older Pentecostal position would be like, you know, why look at the Scriptures like that?
So I think the same thing is why the women have found a greater role in the assembly of God than in evangelical analysis, because the value on the Spirit moving through you without regard for who you are.
I do think that, and we haven't really got comparative data, if we could survey people from a variety of Christian faith traditions, I do think we'd find variance in the responses. And I think that Pentecostals we would find them to be probably a large percent, 80+% are in favor of intelligent design. Remember these are that survey in 08 was all faculty. These were not congregants, uneducated, members of churches. These were faculty, theology and life science faculty.
Do we know what percentage of them were Assemblies of God or versus other Pentecostal?
No. And so I think that probably Pentecostals will more likely would align themselves with current intelligent design theory, and also I don't know if it wouldn't be really in opposition to it, but I suspect they're going to be more sympathetic to an idea of immanence of God in His creation, even through theistic evolution.
I
suspect we're going to shift that way.
Contrary to what Bill said, all of the older Pentecostals that I knew always considered themselves people of the book and held. Now, I don't know if the early ones used inerrancy, but they claimed to be people of the book, and you've heard that phrase, huh?
Yeah.
And they also typically read the Scriptures literally, whether it's all the way from generations to revolutions. They definitely would read everything literally, and unless there was some overriding reason that required them to read it in some other way. So that doesn't support what you were saying, although what you said may be correct.
I'll hook you up with the guy who said that. He said, "Yeah, I'd like to give it to you on your talk."
Well, you know he's wrong. He wasn't even listening, was he?
But it seems to me that whether we're talking about let me restate. It looks like the young earth position is losing ground to both
old Earth and theistic evolution.
Yeah, thank you for
right.
My thought. Yeah.
Sorry.
That camp is losing its adherence to those two other camps.
It sure does look that way.
I suspect that's true in the evangelical church as well, not just the Pentecostal.
Yes. Yeah, I... Intelligent design might be the one that would be different, perhaps. Don't know. We need to get more cooperation from people from other denominations to have their people take our survey and see what's happening.
See, and I would question whether people, when they say they support intelligent design, if they really know what they're supporting.
Yeah. Well, does someone...
It's a phrase that, of course, you would believe that.
When they affiliate with one of the camps, our evidence is they often don't know what they mean when they say, I'm an old Earth creationist. Yeah. And yet they aren't generally, less than half of them are able to, you know, answer in conformity with that. So,
are there trends in the inconsistencies? So if they say, I think I'm an old Earth creationist, but their views are actually more consistent with younger?
I haven't. I didn't look at that.
We have a lot of data that we've not analyzed yet. Mostly it's Mike's fault.
That's true.
I think that it's a group of people who are changing their view in that time of transition, and they're not going to be as consistent because they're just beginning to change. Maybe three of the ideas they longed on to,
right.
And so that caused them to change their mind, but they still haven't thought about the others or come to a conclusion.
And for us to imagine that these positions are monolithic is crazy. Because we are diverse people who don't fit into boxes easily, and you're right, I agree with you. So it may not be an issue of awareness as much as conflict. I'm conflicted on this camp.
I would say a measure of transition.
That's good too. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for being here. I have if you're interested at all, I do have copies of the survey. You could come by and get one, and also a summary of some of the data. So just come on by and grab them. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for giving the talk.